Douglas Crook, Wednesday, May 2nd, 2012.
Well, let's begin our study in Proverbs this evening in the 19th chapter of Proverbs, beginning at verse 15. Proverbs 19 and verse 15, we're still in the middle of this subject matter of industriousness being contrasted with laziness. And as we apply these truths to natural endeavors, we are wise and we benefit from it in natural ways. But of course, the most important lesson for us is to apply these truths, these principles, this wisdom to our spiritual endeavors, our work in the service of the Lord, our worship of the Lord, in order that we might benefit from those spiritual endeavors with eternal benefits and eternal wealth. Proverbs 19 and verse 15, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. When we are lazy in spiritual matters, we become spiritually sleepy, and we are unaware of the precious time that's being wasted until all of a sudden we wake up and we're hungry. Again, in the natural, some of us have maybe had experience where you slept through dinner and all of a sudden you woke up and realized how hungry you were. Hopefully, you didn't experience it because of laziness, but it might have happened. But I have known countless numbers of believers who go through life concerning their spiritual responsibilities, their service to the Lord, their worship of the Lord, and they are lazy. They neglect the things that lead to God's blessing, that lead to spiritual maturity, and that lead to the production of spiritual fruit in their life. And they go through life pretty much doing whatever it becomes easy and convenient for them. And then one day, they wake up, and they realize their life is empty. They're hungry. They wonder why they're not enjoying the blessings of God. And it's because so many Christians are spiritually asleep. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in Romans 13. Let's turn there. So we understand how important it is for us to apply these truths. If we just come every Wednesday and we read a bunch of scriptures and we leave unchanged or unaffected, what a great loss that is. It's possible to come to the Wednesday night Bible study and be spiritually asleep to the point that you really don't hear it. You really don't. And it's possible for me to prepare the Wednesday lesson and give it. And it's possible for me to be spiritually asleep. And I don't want that to be the case with me. I don't want that to be the case with you. And so we need to allow the Holy Spirit to truly speak to our heart about these things that obviously are important to God, because he spent a lot of effort having this recorded for us. Romans 13, verses 11 to 14. Romans 13, 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now's the time to wake up. Cast off the works of darkness, and here we're given a few of them: revelry, drunkenness, lewdness, lust, in strife and envy. All those things that pertain to the selfishness of the flesh. But instead of that, we are to be awake and actively engaged in proper conduct. And again, I hadn't necessarily planned this. I don't have a list myself here, but just in the spirit of my introduction earlier about taking this seriously, thinking about what does that mean, some of you give me some examples of what it means to walk properly in the day as a Christian. You know, that's just a phrase unless we put some understanding to it. Anyone have a suggestion? What would be proper activity for a Christian as a child of the light, of the child of the day. Tom? Okay. All of those are very good. Okay. And how do we buy up the time? And in that particular verse you're quoting, the thought behind it is to take advantage of the opportunities. What opportunities? Opportunities for what? So how do you redeem the time, Steve? Okay. Anyone else? Linda? Okay. Study of God's word. Prayer. Okay. Again, those are all good phrases, but what does it mean specifically to stand fast in the faith? Okay. Okay. That your daily choices and activities would agree with what's revealed in the word of God, right? And along George's statement was spot on, stand fast in the faith. And part of what that means is, when in that context, faith has to do with the body of truth that's revealed in the word of God. So you stand fast in the faith by, first of all, having your life being transformed by that revelation of truth, what's right, what's wrong. And also it means to stand in a position where you proclaim that same body of truth faithfully to others, that you give others that same opportunity without compromising truth. Stand fast in the faith. And so these are all things that it boils down to your day-to-day activities. It's not about, you know, just coming to church when the church doors are open. That's a part of it. But if, as I mentioned before, it's possible for the preacher and the congregation to come to church and be spiritually asleep. And we don't want that to happen, so we have to understand that we need to put on the armor of light. Why does a soldier put on the armor? Does he put on his armor to go take a nap? No, it's not really convenient or comfortable to take a nap in. He puts on armor to go fight, to be busy about the business that he's been called to do, he or she. So may we truly learn to walk properly as in the day and not in the lust of the flesh, however it manifests itself, but in simple, loving obedience to the revealed will of God. Too many of God's people are lazy concerning the will of God because it's not convenient, because it's easier simply to drift through life. Proverbs 19, verse 24. Now, if you think I'm exaggerating, here is the epitome of laziness. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Now that's lazy. It's sitting right there. He's hungry. He needs it. He even reaches out because he knows it's there and he really knows he needs it, but he's too lazy to even bring it to his mouth. Now in the natural, I have never seen a person this lazy. They may exist. I have seen children fall asleep while eating and plant their face in the bowl because they fell asleep. They were so tired. But I've never seen in the natural someone this lazy. But sadly, I have seen it over and over again among God's people. I have seen people this spiritually lazy. They've had the opportunity at hand to grow spiritually, to be nurtured, to be strong, to be everything that God would have them to be, and they're too lazy to actually bring it to a place where they apply it to their life. Now, there are many that for different circumstances haven't had some of the opportunities that many of us have had and many of these lazy individuals that I'm talking about. There are others that haven't had some of the great opportunities that we have had. But to me, it's one of the saddest things when someone has the opportunity to hear sound doctrine proclaimed, the Pauline gospel proclaimed, and then to walk away from it because they're too lazy to apply it to their life. Just again, the point, I don't know why I'm putting such a point on these things, I guess because, well, I have my reasons. But I think of the many that have had opportunities to take advantage of gifted ministries like Brother Freestone's, for example. And I'm not exalting the man, but I am acknowledging the value of the gift that God gave him. He's been ministering here in this place for 25 years. And yet many have never taken advantage of the great wealth of the gift of Jesus Christ to the body. And to me, that saddens me. Now, let's say the Lord gives Brother Freestone another 10 or 15 years, maybe 20. But at some point, if the Lord doesn't come, that opportunity is going to be gone, isn't it? Now, God will always have men and women. God's not going to die with Brother Freestone. God will always have men and women that are faithful to proclaim His word. But what I'm saying is, when God gives you such a great opportunity, and this is only one example of opportunities that people, it's right there. They can stick their hand in it, but they don't apply it to their life where it changes them, transforms their life to the very image of Jesus Christ. Saints, may we never be guilty. And some over the years that I thought would never fall into that temptation, over the years I've seen men and women fall into the spiritual sleep. May the Lord help us not to be guilty of that kind of spiritual laziness. Proverbs 20 and verse 4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Here the emphasis of the laziness of a person has to do with he just doesn't want to suffer the inconvenience of doing what's necessary to have success in the harvest time. Now, any of you that have worked, had a job where you've worked out in the cold, Brother Harrelson, you know what I'm talking about. I used to do some carpentry work in Kansas winters. I hated winter. You had to put on 3 or 4 different layers. You had to wrestle the snow and the boots to do all the work that was already hard. And I hated winter. And the farmer, the same thing. In order to prepare for the harvest in the springtime, he had to work all winter long. And it's not pleasant. It's not convenient. It's not easy. But a wise farmer knows that that kind of labor and inconvenience is absolutely necessary in order to enjoy the wonderful benefits of a harvest. But a lazy person says, you know, it's too cold out. It's unpleasant. So I'm not going to do it. But then when the harvest time comes, then the real pain and suffering comes for that individual, because now they're hungry. Now they have nothing. Galatians 6, verses 9 to 10. Again, the Apostle Paul, in his doctrinal statements, uses this same wisdom to encourage us to put forth the effort now in the winter of this life in anticipation of the eternal harvest. Galatians 6 and verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, there's Steve's thought, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Jump over to Romans 8 and verse 18. Romans 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, when Paul's talking about suffering, he's not just talking about suffering in general, that everyone, both saved and unsaved, suffer, just the natural sufferings of natural living. But he's talking about the sufferings of doing the will of God, the labor that's involved in doing the things that God says we should do for His glory and for the good of others. He's talking about the sacrifices that are necessary when you identify yourself with Jesus Christ and His righteousness and His ways. He says that suffering, that plowing in this winter time, is not worthy to be compared with the glory, the joy, the wealth of that eternal harvest that is coming. It shall be revealed not only to us, but in us. This is how real it's going to be. The very glory of God is going to shine in us and from us, as well as us enjoying and taking in all of the glories and beauties of heaven. So when you remember that, yes, this winter time is hard and there's suffering involved, remember that during the trials, during the hardship, during the sacrifice, God has promised to be your sufficiency for you to endure and come out victorious on the other side of those things. So right now you have that assurance. It's not just someday, hopefully you make it, and someday. No, the promise is He'll provide everything you need to be victorious, to give you strength, spiritual, emotional, physical, whatever's necessary to do the will of God in this life. He said, I will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So you have that assurance when things get tough in this winter time. But also never lose sight of the eternal glory that God has promised you. And for some, the suffering is enormous. But the joy is in knowing that that enormous suffering in comparison to the glory that shall, and the joy, it can't even be compared to the magnitude of that glory. So take comfort in that. And it will be strength for you to continue on to do the will of God. Proverbs 20 and verse 13. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread. I'll give you one of the footnotes in one of the translations that I read. It says, the proverb teaches that diligence leads to prosperity. It contrasts loving sleep with opening the eyes, and poverty with satisfaction. Just as sleep can be used for slothfulness or laziness, so opening the eyes can represent vigorous, active conduct. The idioms have caught on in modern usage as well. Things like open your eyes and asleep on the job. Now, someone, you ever told one of your coworkers, or hopefully not, but maybe someone's told you, you're asleep on the job. Well, they don't mean that you literally were sleeping. They mean you weren't paying attention. You were being negligent at the very least, if not lazy. So open your eyes, pay attention, be diligent to what you're supposed to be doing in order that you might be successful in whatever the endeavor may be. Let's go once again to Paul's writing in 1 Thessalonians. In verses 4 to 11, and once again, we find many Christians are asleep on the job. Everyone is not called to be a public speaker or teacher. Everyone's not called to those visible places of leadership in the church. But we all, as members of the body of Christ, are charged with being willing instruments to do the will of God. However, the head instructs us. For the good of the body, and in order to do the will of God in this world in which we live. But many Christians have fallen asleep. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4-11. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. There's that armor again. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. We edify one another, we encourage one another by saying, let's keep our eyes open, let's keep watching, let's don't be lazy, let's don't be spiritually blind, but let's see what God has called us to do, let's understand what He's called us to do, and then let's faithfully look for those opportunities to be obedient. Proverbs 21 and verse 17. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Now, just so there's no misunderstanding, this proverb does not forbid or condemn having a good time or enjoying the joys of life. The proverb is emphasizing the word love here. The man who loves pleasure, in other words, the sense is one who needs and chooses these temporal pleasures to excessiveness in order to try to be happy, in order to find pleasure and satisfaction. It's a life of self-indulgence. So the proverb is saying, those who indulge themselves with the pleasures of this world, looking for their happiness and their purpose and their satisfaction, they're going to be poor. Once again, the context is material poverty, but when you apply that in the spiritual realm, it becomes real poverty. The child of God obviously can never lose that guaranteed inheritance as a child of God, eternal life. But there are those who will be saved yet so as by fire. And before the judgment seat of Christ, they will lose everything else but that gracious foundation, which is the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Many believers are wasting their life because they love pleasure more than they love God. 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17. We are able to enjoy the natural blessings that God gives us, and we should. We should enjoy all the things, the abundance that God has given us. We should do so with humility, knowing that it comes from Him. We should do so with generosity to share with others. But if we ever look to those natural blessings as the source of our happiness, we're headed for poverty. And this is why John exhorts us in 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. This is why I said earlier that life is not about pleasures, hobbies, material wealth, family, programs, associations, power. It's not a, if you're looking for your happiness in any of those things, you're headed for poverty. If you love those things. But as a child of God, our supreme love is to be the Lord Jesus Christ and what pleases Him. His will is what brings us satisfaction. Surrendering to the will, His will, doing His will, that's what's going to give you peace that passes understanding. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. You will not find it in or through anything or anyone else, but in the will of God. And if we as God's people can remember that, then we're wealthy. And we're going to enjoy the wealth of God in its fullness both now and in eternity. Proverbs 21, verses 25 and 26. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. The Bible Knowledge Commentary has this comment. Both of these verses speak of a lazy person, a sluggard. He longs for things, but by refusing to work, he eventually starves. Now, in contrast to the lazy who long for things but do not have them, the righteous have and willingly give. That's quite a difference, isn't it? One wants, but because he's too lazy to do the things that will lead to obtaining those things, he eventually starves himself. He makes himself miserable by his own laziness. But in contrast to that, those who willingly do their responsibilities as unto the Lord, they not only have things that are pleasing to them and satisfy their needs, but they have an abundance to share with others. Once again, in natural things and spiritual things as well. Those who fear the Lord have enough for themselves and have an abundance to give others. Ephesians 4:28, Paul speaks about the grace of God that will make that transformation in you. Ephesians 4 and 28, there's probably no one lazier than a thief. Notice I didn't say crook. There's no one lazier than a thief, even though they may do a lot of work to pull off their crime. But they're too lazy to do what would be sufficient to supply what they need. Instead, they want what someone else has labored for. But in verse 28 of Ephesians 4 is, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. This is what the grace of God will do for you. It's real. It will transform your life. It'll transform you from a lazy thief to a generous giver who has everything that he needs. Not only the material aspect of it, but spiritually as well. And that leads us to the next proverb in the list. Now, in the booklet, if you're following in the booklet, it actually lists it as Proverbs 22 and verse 29. But as you search the scriptures, you actually find that that's a typo. It should be Proverbs 22 and verse 9. So Proverbs 22 and 9 says this, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Now, this proverb probably should have been considered under generosity rather than industriousness, but it is kind of connected to the last one that we had, that those that are industrious and honor the Lord, are faithful in their responsibilities, they have sufficient for themselves, but they're also generous to give to others. But no matter what heading it should be under, once again, we'll read in 2 Corinthians 9 in Paul's writings that Paul agrees with this, that if we will learn to be generous, those that are righteous and those that are truly honoring the Lord with their life, they will have this heart of generosity. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 15. We'll close with this evening. 2 Corinthians 9 and verses 6 to 15. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Remember the context. Now, Paul's actually talking here about material, giving of material things, but notice how it goes beyond the material and it reaches in and has an effect on the spiritual realm, or actually vice versa, the spiritual realm, those who fear the Lord. This is how that life will be manifested even in their material giving. It has to do with God will give us an abundance for every good work. Whatever we need to do the will of God, spirit, soul, or body, he will supply if we will learn to be generous in what God has given us. And it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, this offering that Paul was collecting, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God, while through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God's blessing is on those who honor him and who generously serve others. Serving, living for yourself, whether it be because of your laziness, or you're hoarding for yourself, or ignoring those around you. Living for self is lazy and counterproductive. If you really want God's abundance in your life, you live for him and you live for others. It's one of those many paradoxes of faith. But God challenges us in his word. David challenges us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. His ways are best ways. Well, let's stand. We'll be dismissed this evening.